You got your Bibles? Go into the Old Testament tonight to Daniel chapter number 7. Daniel chapter number 7. I'm not going to get deep in prophecy, but this passage deals some deep stuff in prophecy. But I'm going to bring out a practical truth. I preached through the book of Daniel here recently. Still have a chapter or so to go. But there is a verse of scripture that I want to give you tonight and preach on it a little bit and encourage you a little bit and help you a little bit. And maybe tonight when you leave, you'll be encouraged. Stand with me to Daniel 7 and verse 25. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Daniel 7 and 25. The context of chapter 7 and verse 25 is talking about the Antichrist. If you study the whole chapter 7, you'll see he's coming out of the Roman Empire. But this passage of scripture, I want to give it just a different twist on it tonight. The Bible said, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be even into his hand unto a time and times and a dividing of time." Our Father, I asked you as we preach the word of God tonight that you would help us. Help us to preach like we've never preached before. Lord, stir folks up tonight. Help us to be aware of some things tonight. And we'll praise you for what you'll do. We'll shout at what you'll do. We'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen. I want to preach tonight on that passage of scripture. I'm going to be somewhat topical tonight. The Bible said, "And he shall speak words against the Most High, and he shall," I'm interested in this phrase, "he shall wear out the saints of the Most High." Two things I want you to notice by way of introduction. First of all, I want you to notice Satan's talk. He has always been against God. And if you're under opposition tonight, don't point at somebody else. Point at the devil. We're not the enemy, but the devil is the enemy. Somebody say amen. He has always spoken against God. He said, "I'll make my kingdom above God. I'll dethrone God." But I want you to know something. I read the back of the book. He's going to hell. We're going to heaven. He's going to lose, and we're going to win. Thank God for that. So we see, first of all, the talk of Satan. But here's what I'm interested in. "And he shall wear out the saints of the Most High." And secondly, I want to talk about the tools of the devil. Here's what I want to preach on tonight. The tools the devil uses to wear you out. And here's what I've done tonight. That word "wear" is to it means to rub. It means to wear upon. It means to whittle away. I want you to imagine this piece of wood that I got right here as your life. This is you. This is your life. And here's what Satan wants to do to your life. He wants to wear you out. And he'll use everything he can to just wear and wear and wear and wear to the place you don't want to serve God anymore. Somebody help me preach. See, I'm preaching tonight on tools the devil uses to just wear you out. He just, let me get on down here a little bit. Here's what he wants to do, you preacher man. He wants to rub you. He wants to foul on you. And he wants to wear you out.
Amen.
His goal is to get you to quit.
Yes, sir.
His goal is to get you to throw your hands up. His goal is to stop you. His goal is that you will not ever fulfill what God wants for you. Somebody help me preach right now. And whether you like this or not, he's working on every man, woman, and boy and girl in this church that's under the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. His goal is to wear you out. You ever felt wore out? Huh? You ever felt like just, I'm going to throw up my hands? What is the use? Yeah, you have. Hopefully we won't stay in that state very long.
Amen.
Huh?
That's right.
Look at him. I'm getting there, ain't I?
He's going to get wore out one of these days.
Huh? You notice? You, pastor, you notice? He wants you to give up on teenagers. He wants you to think ain't no hope for teenagers. He wants you to think there's no hope and they'll never get straightened out and they're the worst generation in the world. But I want you to know he's a liar. And he wants you to think, what's the use to work with addicted people? What's the use to work with somebody, misfits of society? And he'll work on you, Tyler. And he'll work on you. And he'll wear on you. And he'll wear on you. Hello? Come on now. You say, well, good illustration. But what tools are you talking about? I'll give you at least three. I got four, but I may give you just three. All right? See if you bear witness with me. Number one, he tries to give you or use the tool of distraction on you. Now, I wrote this down, this little quote down. I like this. Don't let the voice of the world keep you from hearing the voice of God. Somebody help me. Don't listen to what the junk the world dishing out. It's hogwash. God have mercy, don't listen to Nancy Pelosi. If you listen to her, you ought not be left alone by yourself. Hello. This world, our government, is nothing more than tools of the devil to distract us. Let me go on. What is distraction? Distraction is something or someone that takes your attention away from what you're supposed to be doing. Somebody help me preach. Distraction comes from the Latin word drag. What it means is the devil's trying to drag you away from the task that God wants you to do. God has something for everybody in this room, but Satan is trying to drag you away from the will of God. Somebody help me preach. I'm trying to help us. He'll try, first of all, to drag you from the Word of God. We're living in a culture today, even in our churches, where this Bible is being used less than it's ever been used before. And we've got more availability to it than we've ever had before. Somebody, amen. There is more Bible tools, more Bible commentaries, more things about the Bible. Hey, some of the things I got tonight, I just Googled them. There's so much out there for us, but here's what the devil wants to do. He wants to get you away from the Word of God. He wants to drag you away from the Word of God. He doesn't want you to study the Word of God. He doesn't want you to grip on the promises of the Word of God. He wants to keep you from it. I'll tell you what else he'll do. He'll distract you from the work of God. Anything he can do to stop us from working. Somebody help me. Here's what he does. He'll whittle away at you. He just whittled away. Maybe I can stop the work for a month. Maybe I can discourage Paul Spurlock for 2 months and get him away from working for God. What would them kids at TNT think? What would the teenagers think that you teach to? And he's trying to distract you from the will of God. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I want you to know something. You'll never be happier than being in the will of God. Don't let anybody, don't let anybody drag you away or distract you or try to get you away from doing the will of God, because you'll never be happier doing anything but the will of God. God's got a will for you. God's got a purpose for you. But here's what Satan does. How many of y'all ever felt that? Anybody in here he's ever rubbed on? If he's rubbed on you before, raise your hand high. There ain't a woman or a man in this room could not raise your hand, because you all been rubbed on. And here's what he wants. He wants to stop you in your tracks and never let you enjoy the perfect will of God. No. Here's what he'll do. No. Chad, it's okay for you to be in God's permissive will. I'm not mad at that. It's all right. Just as long as you don't get too sold out. It's okay, Dana, to just be in the permissive will of God. But it ain't where God wants you. Whether I like it or not, God wants you to meet right in the divine will of God. And here's what he does. Oh, wait a minute. If you go do that, you'll be a failure if you step out on the will of God. You can't possibly succeed. And the devil will use circumstances or someone to tell you you're toast. Yeah. I've been young. And I'm now old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I've got a God that'll take care of me as long as I'm in his will. Number two, I think some of you are starting to get into this. What other tools does he use? Not only does he use distraction, but he uses something else. He uses discouragement. You ever been that way? You ever been discouraged? Here's what the devil's going to do. If I can't distract you, Jeff, I'm going to do something to discourage you. And I'm going to wear you out with it. I'll work at it. I'll strive at it. until I get my job done. Hello? Let me tell you what the Bible says. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. In Numbers 21 and verse 9, it says, the children of Israel were discouraged by the way. I want y'all not to... Let's get away from the Joel Osteen picture of what salvation and religion's about, because he is a joke. I want you to know the way that we're trying to live is not an easy way, but it's the best way. I want you to know something. Serving God is the best thing you could do, but I'm not going to lie to you. You will face some discouragements in the way. Oh, yeah. I'll tell you another one. And I believe it's Deuteronomy 1:28. Not only will you be discouraged by the way, every once in a while you'll get discouraged by the witnesses. Oh, yeah. If you think you ain't going to get somebody to tell you it can't be done, you're out of your mind. You know what's said in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 28? They were discouraged by the brethren. I got to be honest with you. Y'all hear me out. Sinners don't bother me. If sinners bother, they don't bother me. They actually like me. But I'll tell you who will bother you. It's carnal, anemic Christians that has no idea what God's doing in their life. Am I preaching? And God will use one of them. And they'll come to you. And oh, yeah. They'll have you so messed up and aggravated. And they'll just swear at you. Come on now.
Yeah.
I ain't telling you this way's the easiest way. But I ain't going to tell you there ain't going to be some folks every once in a while will discourage you. Come on now. Listen to me. Some of the people that ought to be encouraging you becomes a discouragement to you. I had a brother. He's gone now. I'm hoping in heaven. I'll be honest with you. I just soon run into that back wall then run into him.
Yeah.
He was my brother for my whole 68 years until he died just a few months ago. But I got to be honest with you, every time he seen me, he had to say something negative and something rotten. And when I left him, Brother Greg, I felt about half depressed. You ever met him?
I know people.
It's bad, ain't it? And don't you think a devil ain't going to put somebody there around you and rub you, Greg? Huh? Am I telling it right?
Amen, preacher.
Yeah.
That's good, preacher.
Amen.
Am I all right? You been there? Am I okay? Listen to me. Somebody in the out of the will of God has no clue about being in the will of God.
Amen.
I want you to know something. There's about three or four examples of this. Job felt discouragement from his wife and his friends.
Whew.
Hello. I'm talking about his spouse and his friends. Elijah felt discouragement because of circumstances. You know, Elijah was successful in killing 850, not 450, 850 of Baal's prophets. And they let one woman run him out of town. and he run 110 miles, fell up under a juniper tree, and asked God to kill him. Jeremiah was discouraged. Now listen to this. With God. Oh yeah. Some of you just looked at me funny. So I better read it to you. Turn to Jeremiah. See if I can find it without going crazy. You got your Bibles? Go over to the 20th chapter. I think it's the 20th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. I'm turning. I want y'all to see this. I'm almost finished. Listen to this. Listen. Jeremiah 20 and verse 7. Look what he said to God. Oh Lord, thou had deceived me. What? He talked about God. And I was deceived. And thou art stronger than I. And hast prevailed. I'm in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. God, it's your fault. It'll be somebody tell you a bad circumstance that happened to you in your life, and God was the reason, and God's the fault. God ain't never done anything bad in your life. The only thing he's ever done in your life was good. Look what he said. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of his name. How many believe that's discouraged? A called man of God says, I'll never mention his name. Whew. Lord, have mercy. But look at the rest of it. But his word is in my heart. Woo! As a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing. And I could not stay. I want you to know something. I'm not going to lie to you. Here's what the devil's going to do. He is going to allow something to happen in your life that's real bad, and he's going to try to get you to blame God for it. Somebody help me. Am I preaching? Oh, that's what he wants to do to you. Richie wants you and me to blame God. Because see, if I get you disenchanted with God, you're done. If I get you to question God and think God's not real and God's not true and God can't help you, you're toast. Oh, that's what he does, don't he? You ever had him found on you? Come on, let's just all be honest right now. If something ever happened in your life that was what I call a bitter experience, and that the devil got it in your mind that if God really loved you, he wouldn't allow that to happen. He's a liar. If God really loved you, he wouldn't allow that to happen. Sometimes we blame things on God that God ain't within 1,000 miles of. God did not break your marriage up. The devil broke it up. God didn't do that terrible thing that happened in your life. The devil did. Let's give the blame to who blame.
Come on, preacher. Bless your heart.
Oh, I just need to do this. If I can just, Mike, get you questioning God. You miss, so just get you to not, just for a moment, to start doubting that he loves you. You'll never cook another meal. You'll never bless another missionary. You'll never bless another preacher. If I can just get you to question God. You don't want to be in church. You won't want to pay your tithes. You won't want to do anything. Am I preaching? You ever feel him wearing on you?
Seems like you've been wearing both sides of me.
Has he? Oh, I understand. By the way, he will wear you out. If he can't succeed over here, he'll go over there. But I want to tell you where it goes. You want to know where it goes? Right in between your ears.
Yes, sir.
Somebody help me preach.
You're all right, preacher. Come on now.
Now this ain't gonna sound very spiritual, but I'm gonna tell you anyway. There's sometimes some stuff pops in my head and I said, under God, what's that there for? Who put that there? And I want to answer it right now that it wasn't God.
That's right. Yeah.
And I'm glad it ain't what goes in that defileth, but what cometh out. Because I want to be honest with you. If everything that went in my mind came out of my mind, they'd be body bags everywhere. I mean, they'd be stacking up, man.
Yes, amen. Come on.
Yeah. I had some dumb stuff come in my mind. And don't you please attribute that to God. That's the devil. If I can just get you wore out enough to where you say, well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to be at church on Sunday morning preaching only. Sunday school ain't helping me. And I'm not going to come on Wednesday night. That takes too much of my time. And I ain't coming on Sunday night because he gets too rough on Sunday night. So I'm just going to be a Sunday morning worship man only.
You're preaching now, Lord.
Uh-oh. Oh, I'm coming. He's working on y'all. That preacher expects us to be here every service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Expects us to give a tenth of what we owe of our goods. Who do you think he is? I ain't asking for none of that. God is. But if I can just get you to question God, I know you and your wife's been having a hard time. Christina, I know you have. And you know what the devil wants? He wants you to think, okay, it's God's fault. Why am I still sick? Why does my back still bother me? It ain't God's fault. We in Adamic bodies. We're in fallen bodies. Somebody help me. How you doing, Junior?
Good.
I ain't getting to the third point, by the way. I'm almost done.
Preaching good.
If I can just let you hear all the noise, brother, and then get you blame God. I got you.
You're right.
I'm done. Now I'm going to ask you something. Everyone in this room, I want to ask you. Has he been fouling on you?
Yeah.
Has he been working on you? You know what? If he's working on you, what you need to do, take a little trip around here and say, God, you're the only one I can trust. My whole life's dependent on you. You help me. Stand with me.
Touching God. Touching Lord.
Our Father, I thank you for your word. I pray that Christians will come tonight, get some help, find hope, find strength, get around the altar. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You come on. If the devil been wearing you out, you come on. Let's sing. I'm going to pray. Got some help tonight. Now tomorrow night's communion night. Everybody get out here tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. This is, I believe, one of the most special times we can meet together as a church. And we'll have a great time tomorrow night. And if I don't get to see you personally, face to face, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I hope you have a great day Wednesday. Hope you're really blessed. Our Father, thank you for your good word of God. I hope I was a help to somebody tonight. I'm aware the devil is trying to wear us out. Now bless now in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. God bless you. Good night.